Really good to see everybody. Great to see the kids in. If you're a child and you're sat in one of the seats a little bit further back, why don't you come forward and grab a seat on one of the benches here? You might be able to see things a little bit more clearly. Good man. Anyone else want to come forward? Come on, Grace. No, she's all right. Kids at the back, do you want to come forward so you can see a little bit more clearly? Come on, be brave. No? You sure? Okay. Well, really, really good to see you this morning. I want to start by asking everybody, kids and adults, a question. Okay, and this is the question. In the book of Exodus, in the Bible, what are the most famous events or people? Okay, so what events or people are the most famous in the book of Exodus? A couple of weeks ago, I sent an email to about 20 people, and I asked them this question. What people or events is the book of Exodus famous for? And they responded with 5 answers each. And a little bit like Family Fortunes, I've collected those answers, and I've now got the top 5 events or people from the book of Exodus. And I'm willing to give a chocolate eclair to anybody who can guess one of the top 5 events or people from the book of Exodus. Adults as well, if you can guess. Okay, so I'm going to give you just 10 seconds, and I don't mind if you talk with somebody next to you, to see if you can talk about what might be one of the top 5 events or people from the book of Exodus. So 10 seconds to talk with the person next to you, then I'll take answers. Go. 10 seconds is running out. I don't hear much talking. Adults, you can talk as well. Too many people desperate for an eclair. Okay, time up. Don't put them on the screen yet, guys. So one of the top 5 events or people from the book of Exodus. You can't eat this during the service if you do get one. You have to wait until afterwards. Okay, I don't know your names, but do you want to have a guess? Okay, can you guess one of the events or people?
No.
No, you don't know. Just putting your hand up, desperate for an eclair. Tom? Moses, good man. He's one of the most popular answers. Kat? No, the Israelites are in Exodus, you're right. They're the people, but that wasn't one of the top 5. Meg?
The Ten Commandments,
yes. Millie? No, nice try. Any adults want to have a go? Nicola? The plagues, yes, that was number 1. Bethan? Crossing the Red Sea, yes. Ollie? Grace or Ollie? I can't remember. They look the same. Willie, do you know? Oh, we've got one more. We've had the plagues, the parting of the Red Sea, Moses, the Ten Commandments. This is the massive one, the big one, so important. John? The Passover. Ah! Guys, it's great to see that you know some of the stories, some of the great accounts from Exodus. It's good to see that some of the adults know the accounts and the events of Exodus. I've got another question for you, and this one's just to think about in your head. Okay, so I'm not taking answers. There's no eclairs to be won here. This is just to think about in your head. What does Exodus, the story, the accounts of Exodus, have to do with us? What does Exodus have to do with me? Or with you? Why does it matter? Why should we read it? My tap water has never turned to blood when I turn it on. I can't part a puddle when I walk down the street, let alone an ocean. I don't kill lambs and put their blood on my door. I've never heard God speak from the top of this place called Mount Sinai. Never even heard him speak in my ears, like thunder. What does Exodus have to do with me or with you? Well, there's a verse coming on the screen written by a guy called Paul, and he wrote this. It's quite a complicated verse, you have to listen carefully. For whatever was written in former days, including Exodus, was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now, there's a lot in there,
But what he's saying is that the book of Exodus was written for us, was written for you guys, was written for me, was written to help us, to encourage us to keep trusting in God, to keep going as Christians. So, as we look at Exodus this morning, just the first little bit that we read so beautifully to us, we need to pray and ask for God's help. So kids, hands in the air, high as you can, hands in the air, wiggle your fingers, hands together, eyes shut, let's pray. Father God, please help us as we look at the Bible this morning to understand more about you, that we would leave church encouraged and full of hope. Amen. Anyone know the book that comes before Exodus in the Bible? Anyone know the very first book of the Bible, what it's called? Yeah? Genesis. Now Genesis actually ends in a really happy way. There's a guy called Joseph who becomes best mates with Pharaoh. Okay, Joseph is this great president of Egypt. And all the countries around Egypt are suffering from a famine. There was no food. But Joseph brings his family to Egypt, looks after them, provides for them, gives them food and shelter. However, when we get to Exodus, in the first few verses, it all goes wrong. Joseph dies. There's a new Pharaoh and he cannot stand Joseph's family. He hates this group of people called the Israelites. He hates them so much that they become his slaves. Now, I need a couple of volunteers who are willing to be Egyptian workers. Willing to be Egyptian workers. Yes, young man, why don't you come forward? What's your name? Thomas. Good man, have a girl. What's your name? Pretty dress. Eve, why don't you come forward? So Thomas and Eve, you can be my Egyptian workers, okay? And because you're my Egyptian workers, before you even do any work, I'm going to pay you, okay? Have a chocolate eclair, don't eat it now, okay? Now I need two Israelite slaves. I've already picked them actually. When I saw him coming this morning, I thought, yes, you are going to be my slave. So Andy Patterson. And Dave Akerall. I've always wanted Dave to be my slave. No, you're Israelites. Actually, if you'd stand together. Closer together, please. Actually, if you'd make sure that doesn't drag on the ground, please. Hands. This is my Christmas present, this dressing gown, so please. Right, so they're my Israelite slaves. Now, your challenge, two different teams, is to build a house or a pyramid out of Lego, okay? Guys, my brilliant Egyptian workers, why don't you come towards the table? Here's your box of yellow Lego. You can start building if you like. Israelite slaves, your bricks are at the back with Jim. And you can only collect one brick at a time. So you need to go and collect your bricks to build the storehouse, okay? And I'm going to give you... You can have 1 minute, okay? And you can start now. The other brilliant thing I've got for my Israelites. I hope you can hear this. 30 seconds left. How are you doing, guys? Not got long left. Try and build it big. Just build it big. Build it really big. Big as you can. Come on, Israelites. 10 seconds left. You need to finish that storehouse. Okay, last brick. Okay, you can stop there, Israelite slaves, you're useless. Okay, let's give them a round of applause. Okay, guys. Now, let's judge between the Israelite slaves who were pretty rubbish. Here's their pyramids. Can't fit much in there. And my brilliant Egyptian workers. They're making steady but brilliant progress. Round of applause for the Egyptian workers. Okay, guys, you can sit down. You can have one more. Thank you, guys, very much. You've been brilliant workers. Take your seats. Sorry, that was a tight knot. You can still be my Israelite slaves. Now, which pair did I treat best? Who did I treat best, the Egyptians or the Israelites? Come on, easy answer. Which pair did I treat best? Egyptians over here or the Israelites here? The Egyptians. I paid them before they even started. I gave them their bricks. I paid them at the end. Whereas the Israelites, I was harsh to. Tied them up. I whipped them with my cool whip. Didn't give them their bricks. Although Dave did have a drink of my water, which I wouldn't have allowed if I'd have spotted it earlier. But actually, we were just playing a little game. In Exodus, the word used to describe how Pharaoh treats the Israelites is ruthless. They endured pain, and they suffered, and they cried. But Pharaoh gets a lot worse. He becomes even more brutal. And he sends a message to the midwives. I've got the message here. Jake, do you want to open it and read the message? This is from Pharaoh to the midwives. Big loud voice. Louder. So Pharaoh sends a message to the midwives saying, kill the boys. But it gets even worse. Pharaoh sends another message to all the people. And Tim's going to stand and read that message. So Pharaoh is awful. He puts the Israelites as slaves. He tells the midwives to kill all the boys. He then tells everybody else to throw boys into the River Nile. So here's a question. If you were an Israelite, I'm going to pick on some adults as well. If you were an Israelite, how would you be feeling at this point, do you think? How would you be feeling at this point if you were an Israelite slave? Dan? Sad. Meg? Distraught, good word. Kat? Worried and anxious. Yes, ma'am? Yes, young man? What do you reckon? How would you be feeling? Unhappy? Yes, good man. Unhappy. Great words. The Israelites would be exhausted. They were slaves. They were being bullied and tormented by an evil king. But do you want to know what the worst thing for the Israelites is? How they might be feeling? They might be feeling that God has abandoned them. That God has forgotten his promises to them. You see, back in Genesis, God made promises to a guy called Abraham that the Israelites would become a great nation and that they would have their own land and that they would live in peace. So if you were an Israelite now, you're thinking that God has forgotten his promises. But, and this is where it gets brilliant when we look at Exodus, but if we dig deeper into the details of these chapters, we see that this is exactly what God is doing. He is keeping all of his promises. Even when we can't see what he's doing, behind the scenes, God is faithful. Verse 7 should come up on the screen. Have a look at it, guys. Verse 7. Here is God at work. The Israelites were fruitful and multiplied greatly and became exceedingly numerous so that the land was filled with them. So even when Pharaoh decides to force them into slavery, to tire them out, perhaps adults, so that when the men get home they can't think about anything other than sleep, so he wants to force them into slavery, to tire them out, God is at work. Verse 12. Says this, the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and bread. So do you see, God is keeping this promise to make the Israelites a great nation. But Pharaoh is a mean man. He doesn't ever give up. He decides to play dirty. So he sends the message to the midwife thinking, oh, I'll kill all the baby boys. But the midwives care more about what God thinks than what Pharaoh thinks. So the midwives say to Pharaoh, Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive. Now, as Dave said, guys, a couple of weeks ago, my wife gave birth to our first little girl. And one of the things I've learned about childbirth, well, I've learned a few things. It's very painful, but it also can be very slow. We had plenty of time to get to the hospital. We got to the hospital, and there was plenty of time for a midwife to come and see my wife. And then they came again, and they came again, and still nothing had happened. So, the midwives here in Exodus are making a really, really lame excuse. It's a rubbish excuse to say the children are born before we can even arrive. There's plenty of time. So God is at work behind the scenes. God is keeping his promise. But Pharaoh is a mean man. I don't know if I've said that. Pharaoh is a mean man. And he's getting pretty desperate. The number of Israelites is getting out of control. There's so many of them running around everywhere. So he says, throw all the boys into the Nile. But again, God keeps his promises. Here we zoom in Exodus on one particular family. The execution squads are patrolling the streets. And one mother tries to hide her baby for 3 months. Now I need another couple of volunteers. Yeah, Dan and Jake, you'll be good at this. Waiting for the eclair, aren't you? Right, I need you to do two things. Okay, the first thing I need you to do is to do an impression of a baby crying. Okay? So Jake, do you want to do your best impression of a baby crying? Now, I would have let you get away with that 3 weeks ago, but I have got a baby now and they cry much worse than that. Go on, better impression. Ah, oh, Dan, I'm relying on you. You've got to do your best impression. Jake's was lame. Go on. Okay, right. This is what you need to do, Dan. Okay, Jake, you're staying here. Outside those doors, there's a baby monitor by the photocopier. Kat, do you want to show Dan where it is? What I'd like you to do when you get to that baby monitor is I would like you to keep doing that impression of a baby. Just keep doing it. Okay, again and again and again. Okay? Happy to do that?
Yeah.
Just show me it one more time. Okay, keep doing that. Okay, off you go. Now, somewhere in the room is the second part of this baby monitor, Jake. Okay? And it should start crying. And what I'm trying to show you is how difficult it is to hide a baby for 3 months. So when Dan starts crying, I'd like you to see if you can find Moses, who is disguised as a baby monitor. Off you go. You can get an eclair for you and Dan if you find it within 20 seconds. Uh-uh. 10 seconds left, Jake. Good man, give him a round of applause. You can come back in now, guys. Good job, Dan. Jake's got your eclair. That's it. Here, Dan. So actually, do you see, guys, this mother tries to hide her baby, her crying baby, for 3 whole months. It would be really difficult with the Egyptians patrolling the streets trying to find all the babies. And eventually the mother runs out of ideas. She can't hide little Moses anymore. So what does she do? What does she do with Moses? She can't hide him anymore. What does she do? She puts him into a basket. And this bit is the best. She puts him into a basket. Can anyone remember who finds Moses? Who finds Moses? He's in a basket floating down the Nile. Come on, it's the same answers. Same guys answering. Yes! The princess. Brilliant. The princess finds Moses. Do you know, because not many people are answering, I'm going to reward people with eclairs. So you can have an eclair at the end. Okay, so the person who finds Moses in the basket is Pharaoh's daughter, the princess. Okay, now, the princess doesn't want to change nappies. Okay? So do you know who ends up changing Moses' nappies? Who ends up looking after Moses? Anyone else know? His mum. Can you believe it? So Moses' sister is watching Moses bob down the River Nile. She sees the princess pick him up and says, "Do you know, I can recommend a brilliant nanny." So she goes and gets her mum, who comes back and ends up looking after Moses, and she gets paid to do it. So God, behind the scenes, is at work. He's keeping his promises. Because Moses grows up to be the one to rescue them. And so for us this morning, adults and children, this is a reminder that God never leaves his people. He never ignores suffering. He never forgets his promises. Exodus is telling us that God is faithful, even when you can't necessarily see what he's up to behind the scenes. And God hasn't necessarily promised that we will always be healthy, or that school or work will be easy. He actually says that if we're followers of Jesus, life will be tough. It will be hard. But his promise to us is amazing. He says that he's going to grow his family and that he will take all of his children to be with him in this new promised land, this new creation, his new heaven and his new earth. So God is faithful. He is at work behind the scenes even when we can't understand or see. So let's pray together. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the book of Exodus. We thank you that it teaches us all about you, a promise-keeping God. Father, we pray for ourselves as we go into the week. Whatever activities we're doing, would you help us to trust you, even when we can't see how you're working. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing our final